Hi everyone, this is Yarrow Stark. What I have for you today is a really fantastic interview with Adam Short. The topic of this interview is how to make money with niche profit websites. This is a subject I'm constantly asked about because people assume, because I'm an internet marketer, that I have multiple websites in multiple niches. And I certainly have dabbled in other niches before and I've bought and sold websites, but I haven't really done it as a system, as a real business. Instead, I focused on one niche and become an authority in that area. That's the system I use, the system I teach, and the system I advocate. However, it doesn't work for everyone, and some people prefer not to necessarily become an expert or someone of a high profile, and what they just want to do is have one or two or three or, you know, 10 or 20 websites that bring in a few hundred dollars a month each to get themselves up to making a solid full-time income or more from the internet. And that's exactly what Adam and his business partner, Alan, teach. Adam, in fact, has 90 niche websites he himself owns. And in this audio, you'll hear him explain some of those websites. In particular, one example he will give you where he breaks down exactly how he built the website, how he makes money from it, and so on. Now, this is a two-part interview series. The reason why I broke it down is because we actually talked for an hour and 20 minutes. It was a really thorough and in-depth discussion of this method of making money. But in order to maintain your attention, I've broken it down into two parts. You can get the second part of this audio if you haven't got it already by just going to my blog at entrepreneurs-journey.com or Google my name, which is Yarrow, Y-A-R-O. You'll find me as the first result there in Google. And then just click the podcasts tab and you'll see the audio files I have. And just look for part one and part two with Adam Short about niche profit websites. So I'll let Adam begin the call now. I think you're going to get a lot out of this interview. It's 100% content, so I do recommend you turn off any distracting things you might have around you, phone, web browser, television, radio, anything that's going on around you. Focus your attention on what you're about to learn. There's some fantastically valuable content in this interview, and just enjoy it. It's really powerful stuff. So here we go. Hi, everyone. This is Yarrow Stark here from Entrepreneur's Journey. And I have a special guest with me. His name is Adam Short. And I recently got in touch with Adam and his business partner, Alan. And they run an internet marketing business, several different niches. But we're here to speak to him about one topic in particular, which I'm really excited about because this is something that I'm constantly exposed to, which is essentially the niche business model where you're looking at different areas where they're could be a profitable topic area. You're setting up websites to capitalize that and to make a profit from it. Now, there's hundreds of people that, you know, do this and make a lot of money from it. And there's also quite a few people who teach this. So I was actually quite excited to get Adam to come and talk to us because he runs a training program on this topic area and has a lot of background in it. And I want to get an insight into what makes his system different, and also how people can go about making money in topics where they're not necessarily planning on becoming the leading expert in it. So, you know, you're having 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 different niches all making money for you. So, Adam, thank you for joining me.
Thanks very much for having me, Yarrow.
Now, there's no pressure to fulfill those lofty objectives I've just laid out.
But, no pressure at all.
Yeah, let's make it easy to begin with and just give us a bit of background on how you even got into internet marketing in general.
Sure. Well, I guess I first got into it back in college. It was my senior year in college, and I realized I was going to have to graduate soon and go find a real job. And that kind of worried me. And I really hadn't thought before that point too much about starting my own business. I'd never given it any real serious thought. And so, naturally, I'm in a dorm room doing homework, kind of hanging out around computers, and I just started getting online and kind of exploring the internet. And I stumbled across, I guess you could call it, the internet marketing community, a lot of these internet marketing, how to make money online type products. I was completely just drawn in by these sales letters and just mesmerized, and I ended up buying all this stuff on internet marketing, and that was kind of my first exposure to it. I didn't really, after that, I didn't have success right away. I ended up having to go get a job and ended up getting a job at a company called Overture, which was then bought out by Yahoo, and I was there only for about 6 months, and while I was there, I was able to build up some income with AdSense, just basic little AdSense sites. And I quit my job. My AdSense sites kind of started floundering a bit. I'd had, you know, a little early success there, but it didn't last for very long. Pretty soon I found myself having to go back and get another job. But meanwhile, I was still exploring the internet. A couple more years passed, and then a course came out that really changed things for me, and that was a course called Underachiever, which Frank Kern and Ed Dale released, and it was about niche marketing and how to build little niche websites and sell information products in these niche markets. You know, we can talk about what a niche market is later if that comes up. And that course really opened my eyes to the idea of selling information on the internet in markets that I never would have thought of. And I went to work and I added my own twist to the course, and I started just kind of creating kind of a hybrid of what they were doing and adding to it. And over time, I started building up my own niche business to one point where I had over 300 niche websites.
Wow.
Since then, we've scaled back and consolidated some sites, gotten rid of others that weren't performing that well. And so at this point, there's about 94 of them that I collectively manage myself with my business partner, Alan. And been doing that ever since.
I love that you are working at Overture while making money with Google AdSense. That's like a real kick in the pants, making money with the competitor while you work for the other company.
That's funny. It was funny too. The vice president of Overture, while I was there, he caught wind somehow that I was trying to start my own internet business, and he came over one day and ambushed me and said, "Adam, show me one of your sites." And he was looking over my shoulder at the computer while I pulled one up and had AdSense all over it. And it was a pretty embarrassing moment. I could tell he didn't like it.
Yeah, it's funny how many people have stories like that. Like Mike Fulsaine with his making money while working at his car yard, and his boss saying you have to decide between your internet stuff and working for, you know, this company. And he said, "Sorry,
exactly.
I'm going to the internet," you know?
Exactly.
So yep. Those AdSense sites are obviously the first taste you had of making any money on the internet. Let's jump to your first experience with the Underachiever method, and you know that's probably a lot of people got their start in niche marketing there or niche marketing. What was the first site you tested with anything to do with niche marketing? Just so you can take us through the process of how you set it up.
Sure, the very first site that I had success with. The really thing started to click was a site actually on a specific health condition called irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS. And that site, that was my first, I guess you could say, profitable niche website. And I was selling an ebook on how to treat IBS through natural ways to treat the condition.
Right. Now, did you write the ebook? Did you, you know, how did you put this together?
Well, yeah, it was very much the model that Frank Kern and Ed Dale were teaching. So kind of start at the very beginning. You choose a niche market where there's a demand of some kind for information in that market. We can again talk a lot more about this. And this, again, is following their method. We've made a lot of tweaks to the system since then. But what they basically taught and what I was doing at the time is choose a niche market where there's a demand for a specific type of information in that market. You get an ebook created, maybe 50 to 100 page ebook. This is just a downloadable book. And to get that created, I basically went out to Elance and I said, I would like a health professional or somebody with health experience to write an ebook for me on this topic. I ended up finding a nurse who knew a lot about IBS, and she ended up writing the ebook for me. I paid a pretty solid chunk of money for it. It was about, I think, $750 for that ebook. Now, since then, we've figured out how to get ebooks created for about 1/10 the price, which I'll talk about in a bit. But at the time, that's what I paid. And got the ebook, put up a landing page to collect email addresses, and then after that, put up a Google AdWords campaign. Didn't use Overture. Put up a Google AdWords campaign and sent traffic to the opt-in page. People gave me their name and email. I'd follow up with them through autoresponder sequences and sell the ebook. And that really was the business model back then. And that's what worked back then. That doesn't work quite as well now. We can get into that. But that was my first site. That was my first experience. I basically took that and just started replicating it across multiple different websites, all being run through Google AdWords and following the exact same model in different niches.
And how much did you make with that first website?
Well, that first website was selling a $19.95 ebook, and I was selling about two copies a day. So that first site and those two copies, I mean, I had to pay a little bit for the Google pay-per-click cost, so I had traffic costs in there, but I wasn't paying too much. So I was making a profit roughly between $30 and $50 a day on that book. So that site was bringing in about $1,000 a month in profit.
And then you knew the potential, so you just went copy and paste into different other niches. And so
exactly.
How quickly did you ramp up your income from that point forward?
Well, I really ramped up my income quickly. I'd say within about 4.5 months, we were at over five figures a month. And, you know, I didn't do anything. You know, I guess one thing I did looking back that I think was the right decision, I didn't really consciously say to myself, this is the best way to do it at the time, but I'm really glad I did, is I didn't try to get fancy at all. I just took the same template that I was using. I took the same autoresponder series, and I just tweaked it for the next niche market. I took the same landing page, tweaked that for the next niche market, and just started rolling out sites really quickly. And looking back, I think that was the smarter way to do things, because I didn't get distracted or say, okay, you know, I'm going to try this new thing that isn't proven. I just took what already worked, that I knew worked, and I just replicated it. So I was able to do it quickly.
And when did Alan come on board with this?
Well, Alan, that's interesting. Alan and I have been talking for about the last 2 years. You know, so I built this business up by myself, more or less. And then Alan and I started talking about 2 years ago, and he had built up his own niche business, doing things a little bit differently than I had done. And we just, you know, for a long time, we were just sharing ideas, kind of going back and forth on what I was doing, what he was doing. And he'd built up a niche business specifically in the health arena. And he was doing things, again, differently. And he was actually selling some physical products as well, in addition to information products. And I started sharing with him what I was doing. He started sharing with me what he was doing, as we kind of put our heads together and we started building sites together, kind of combining what we had individually figured out for ourselves. And we created, that's the system that we now teach, and what we call Niche Marketing 2.0, which is this hybrid system for niche marketing.
Okay, awesome. So let's jump into it. So you know, let's talk about the idea here that you went from testing your first site using this system, you know, getting up to $1,000 a month. Then you went and replicated that and grew it to 10, I don't know where you're at, 10 or 20 or $30,000 a month by having multiple niches. And obviously now you've got 92 or something, so you must be making very significant income from that. And of course, mm-hmm. you then decided to share this information and help people. So let's talk about how you've helped other people. And, you know, before we talk about the system, because I really want to break down how people listening to the call can replicate this process, because, you know, it's pretty compelling. Jump into any niche and turn on some traffic, sell some information, and you can make some money if you just get the equation right. How have your students gone? Because, you know, I get people skeptical when they hear that, you know, I'm talking to someone who's been doing this for a while. Maybe they're technically savvy, they're young, whatever the justification is. You know, they think that there's a difference between you and them, and that stops them from succeeding doing the same thing. So can you maybe just talk, before we dive into the actual system, some of your, you know, people who've studied under you, you know, what their demographics are, what niches they've gone into, and how well they're going?
Sure. So I guess to back up on the timeline a little bit, while I was building up my niche business, I also had a membership site that I'd started on how to make money with these AdSense sites that I had started. So I had three sources of income on the internet at that point: the membership site, the selling my own information products, and then my own AdSense sites as well. So I had this site about how to make money with AdSense sites, and I started saying, well, you know, this information this idea of selling information products is working really, really well. I'm going to start sharing some of this with the membership that I had at that time. So I just recorded some test videos. They're about, I think it was just 5 or 6 videos, and I uploaded them to the members area just to see if it would be something that people were interested in, and people loved it. A big group within the membership, you know, they wanted to hear a lot more of that versus the AdSense stuff. So I knew right then that there is a lot of interest in learning this information, but the videos I'd released, they didn't really give the full system. So, you know, people couldn't really work from that. So I decided to start a second membership site. This was about 2 years ago, I believe. And that site was called NicheQuake. It's no longer around. We've since transformed it into something else. But that site then, you know, I really sat down and decided to record in detail what I was doing. And so uploaded some videos to that site. So about 250 or so people got exposure to those videos. And, you know, if you go to Niche Profit Classroom now, you'll see, you know, some of the testimonials and some of the successes that have come. But a few specific examples of successes is, you know, one that I'm really, really kind of proud of is somebody by the name of Adamus, who he lives overseas. I'm in the U.S. And he knew about niche marketing, and he had studied the Underachiever course, and he was so close. He was a member, and he was so close to achieving the success. He had put 99% of the pieces of the puzzle together, but he hadn't done it quite yet. And so in the membership site, he was able to kind of finally hook things up together, and he subsequently built a number of successful niche websites. One example is his Orchid site. I work with Adamus a bit now, so maybe I can ask him to share that site with people at some point. One is on orchids. I don't want to reveal all his niche markets, but he's got some other successful sites as well, and that's what he does now. I guess another example of something a little bit closer to home is my aunt. Her name's Jody, and she had lost her job. This was about a year and a half ago, and I basically just gave her access to these videos, and she called me up a few times to get some personal help as well. But this is somebody who, you know, Jody worked as a transcriptionist in a doctor's office for years, and that was all she'd really done. She hadn't had too much exposure to the internet, other than knowing how to use Microsoft Word, and she was able to build a successful site on how to grow a specific type of houseplant. So she basically started this site from scratch, had never built a website before in her life, and now sells an ebook. It's a $15 ebook on this site. I don't want to give the site away without her permission, but I know last time I talked to Jody that she's selling at least 2 copies a day of this ebook. So this particular site is bringing in, you know, and this is from free traffic, so it's pure profit on the ebook. So $30 a day from this one little site, and she's working on her second site now.
So she's already almost at $1,000 a month, and that's from one site, so that's pretty impressive. Well, yeah. You know, I'm always jealous of you guys, to be honest, because, you know, I teach blogging, and it's hard to get success stories of blogging of that speed, because, you know, blogs take a little time to get going, and with, you know, niche marketing, it's often quicker because you can drive pay-per-click traffic, and you have a very streamlined process. So that's why I really wanted to get you on the call, Adam, to break it down. And so for people who maybe are struggling with blogging or just want to get into different niches and, you know, focus on a system to make money, you can explain a system. So let's, you know, stop beating around the bush here, and let's dive straight into how people do this. So
let's do it.
If anyone can do it, it's obviously a way that people can make money quickly. You know, it's not necessarily something where you have to follow a passion for a topic, because, you know, if you're going to replicate niches, let's just, you know, let's break the system down. So what's step one?
Let's do it. Yeah. You've brought up some interesting things too that I want to touch on, Yaro. And anybody listening to the call, you know, I'm hoping in this call that Yaro and I can give you stuff that you can start using right now. So, you know, nothing's really going to be held back. And like Yaro said, we're going to go step one, step two, and just talk about exactly how to do it. Step one with the system, and I guess before I kind of start with step one, just want to make a quick comparison. The stuff that Frank Kern and Ed Dale were teaching when it came out in 2005 or maybe late 2004, I think, that stuff worked really well at the time. But since then, because Yaro, as we know, the internet is always changing. It's always evolving. Google is always changing its policies, and new services and resources are always coming out to that kind of change the face of how we do things, like drive traffic. But anyway, so the system now that I'm about to describe is different than that system, and it's different because the stuff that works now, the stuff that worked back then doesn't necessarily work now anymore. So I guess step one would be, the old way of step one would be go out and find a niche market that you're passionate about and get an ebook created on the topic. That would be step one, and pay a writer maybe $750 to $1,500 for that ebook. Whereas the way we do it now, step one is, yes, find a niche market. You don't have to be passionate about it, and you pay much less for the ebook by a specific kind of technique that we use for outsourcing product creation. So I guess we can start at how to choose a niche market. And this is something that, this is actually one of the, I would say, biggest keys to the system. And it's so, so simple. And that's market research. And so a lot of people make market research, I've noticed, out to be something that is really, really complex. There's lots of tools out there. There's lots of processes that people talk about for doing market research and drilling down into markets and extracting data and manipulating it. And I found that that's not really necessary. The more I've kind of backed up and just relied on my common sense when it comes to choosing a market, the better off I've been able to execute. So the method specifically that we use now, and it's so simple. I know that some people are going to listen to this and go, oh, well, that's too easy. It must not work. Well, it does, believe me. So there's a golden rule when it comes to this selling information product stuff on the internet. And the golden rule is, if you can sell information offline on a certain topic, you can sell information online as well. So what I mean by that, and what we do specifically, is you go to Amazon.com, which is the largest bookseller on the internet, the largest seller really of information when you think about it. They don't sell ebooks. They sell actual physical books that you get in the mail. Go to Amazon, and Amazon is a massive database of information that you can sort and use to determine which markets are hot or not. So you go to Amazon, you can sort by best-selling books in any niche that you want. I mean, Amazon actually breaks it down into niche markets for you. If I had a screen capture right now, I'd actually show you how to do it. But you can go, you can screen for, break things down into different niche markets, screen for the best-selling books, find out what's selling. Specifically, Amazon will actually tell you, how well the book is selling, how well the book is being reviewed. It gives you all sorts of indicators of how hot the market is. And it's a simple relationship. If that information is selling off the internet, then you just need to ask yourself, okay, well, can I bring this to the internet? And the answer is yes. If it's selling offline, you can online. And the second step after that, after you make that relationship, that yes, okay, it's selling offline, I can sell it online, is you want to assess demand on the internet specifically. So now you want to say, okay, there's demand offline. I just want to make sure that there's demand online as well. And that's when you want to do things like getting into keyword research to discover how frequently people are typing keywords related to that niche into the search engines and looking for information on that topic. And once you do those two things, it's very simple. You know whether or not you have a market that you should be going into or not.
All right, so I'm just heading to Amazon.com right now, and I'm just going to go to books.
And just, excellent.
Just because I can. And, I'm a find something that I'm reasonably interested in. Let's go religion and spirituality. That's always interesting.
Yeah.
Here's one. Eye-opening insights about how the opposite sex thinks. I don't know how spiritual and religious that is. I don't know what's in that category.
I think it might be a little miscategorized.
Yeah, I think it might be.
Well, this is kind of a blind test, but let's see what we can do here. Let's see, Yaro. So you've gone to a specific category, and it's called religion and spirituality. And then do you have a list of books in front of you that kind of rank number 1, 2, 3, 4?
I've got their Timely Buzz, New and Notable, Great Books on a Budget, Where would I find a top 10? There's a top 10. There's bestsellers in religion and spirituality. So,
it's see a good more one to bestsellers. Check out.
I haven't heard of any of these things. The Shack is number one.
Yeah, religion and spirituality, I mean, to be honest, is not a category that I've looked at that closely.
So I'm really testing you here, aren't I?
Yeah. I mean, what Yarrow's doing, though, right now, what you're doing, Yarrow, is, I mean, you have taken the first step. I mean, he's gone and found a category in Amazon, and he's now in that category, and he's looking at the best sellers in that category. And you can do this in any category. For instance, if I go click on, you know, a better one, Yarrow, if you can, is, you know, click on something like crafts and hobbies, or home and garden, I think is the, if you click on home and garden, mm-hmm. that'll take you down into crafts and hobbies, and then that'll break the crafts and hobbies down into different crafts and hobbies, like beadwork, all the different, you know, scrapbooking.
Right. Visual knitting. Oh, exciting stuff.
Visual knitting. Yes. Actually, knitting is a great market, incidentally. It's a very, very good market.
Okay. I can see there's all kinds of possible niches here. There's Lego Mindstorms, hand-painted yarn. Wow. Knitting socks. Yes.
Exactly. And you can see, I mean, you've kind of just hit on knitting, and that's interesting because knitting is a great market. I thought for a long time about going into that market and finally did, and I was so glad I did. And what's great about that market is it gets a ton of search volume on the internet, and there's actually a lot of free resources out there on how to knit. That's what kind of discouraged me in the beginning, is there's so much free stuff out there. But I decided to launch a site anyway, and this is kind of one of the interesting things about niche marketing that a lot of people don't really grasp in the beginning, is that you can sell information a lot easier than you think if you're building a list. So there can be all the free info out there on a topic, but if you're building a list on that topic and you're building a relationship with those people, and you can do that all automatically, by the way. You know, building a relationship sounds like, oh, you know, that sounds complicated. It's not.
Right. Well, let's not jump ahead, Adam. Let's talk about, yeah. Let's keep the knitting example, and let's go to the keyword research. Since you've already done this niche to a degree, and you've obviously revealed it now that you're in this niche, so there's no sense of hiding it. Because people are often quite defensive of not sharing their niches because someone else will steal it, but you've done that already, so it's ready to be stolen. What's the keyword research you did? How did you do that research? What sites did you go to, and, you know, so forth?
Well, this brings up an interesting topic that Alan and I, we've developed, I would say, a unique keyword research methodology that we use ourselves and that we teach. It's based on something that we call the money word matrix concept, and I'll just describe that now as best I can without a visual example. But what we do, you can do it automatically using a certain keyword tool that we have, or you can do it manually. So I'll describe the manual process. You can go over to Google AdWords keyword tool, which is a free tool. And so you would go there and you can type in, just type in the root word. So in this case, it would be knitting. That's just the most basic word for this niche market. You type that into the Google AdWords tool and hit click go, and it's free, and it's going to give you a list of keywords in that niche market related to knitting. So it might say knitting socks, you know, how to knit a sweater. All these different keyword variations will come up. The first thing you want to look at after you have that first initial list is you want to look at search volume. And so that's going to be in the column right next to the keyword. And I'm just visualizing this in my head, so I'm a little off.
I'm actually doing it, so.
Oh, okay.
I'm typing in knitting as the top keyword phrase. And I'll give you the top. Should I sort this by volume or anything like that?
Yes, definitely. Sort it. It should say like December volume or January volume. December just sort volume. That by descending.
So
yep.
knit pattern, how to knit.
Okay.
Knitting okay. Heels, knit scarf.
Okay, perfect. Yep, you have the beginnings of a keyword list there. So here's the thing. Not all keywords are created equally. Some keywords are better than others. And what I mean by that is some keywords are easier to rank for than others. So, and when I say rank, you know, I mean rank in the search engines. for your website and get traffic back to your site. So the second step is you want to assess the quality of the keyword. So you want to do specifically Yarrow. If you can do this, open up a new tab and just go to the Google search engine. Mm-hmm. And go ahead and just take one of those top maybe 10 keywords. Take knitting pattern or knitting socks or something. Just grab it and paste it into Google and put quotes around it. That's really important. And then go ahead and click go, and Google will give you a list of results.
Yes. God, there's a looks like an authority site on this subject called knittingpatterncentral.com. I looked up knitting patterns.
Okay. Now, the metric that you want to look at, the actual number, is in the upper right-hand corner of the screen. It should say, Google should say, you know, results 1 through 10 out of X number.
1.7 million.
1.7 million. Okay. And that was for knitting patterns?
Yes. With quotes.
Okay. So the money, what we want to do at that point is take those two numbers, the search, what was the search volume on that keyword?
As in from the keyword tool, you mean, or
from? Yeah, from the keyword tool, number of searches in December.
December, 165,000.
Okay. Okay. So now you can take those two things. You have search volume, which is 165,000. And then we have number of resulting pages, which is 1.7 million. So what's that is telling us there is supply and demand for that keyword. It's saying the supply is, or the demand for the keyword is 165,000. So there's 165,000 searches. That's how many people are looking for that particular topic.
Roughly.
The demand. Yeah, roughly. And then we have, you know, 1 through 10 out of 1.7 million pages. That's how many web pages are competing for that keyword in the search engine. So that's how many competitors you really have if you want to rank for that keyword. So we've developed a matrix. If you can visualize a matrix, it's a series of boxes. And you can take those two things and say, okay, well, this falls in this particular box, so it's a good keyword or it's a poor keyword. The criteria that we go by of what an excellent keyword is if it has 1,000 or more searches per month and less than 10,000 competing web pages. So in this case, knitting patterns, I think, is the one you chose. This falls way outside. It's a poor keyword because it's got a lot of search volume, yes, but there's so many competing web pages for this keyword that it's going to be really hard for you to rank if you were to try to target it. So what a lot of people do when they build their first site is they go after, you know, the most competitive words because they have the highest search volume. So knitting patterns would be an example here. But you don't want to do that because you're going to be forever struggling. You're going to be forever, you know, consistently trying to get ranked for that word, and you're going to have a lot of competition for it. So you want to find those keywords where there's a lot of search volume, 1,000 or more per month, and less than 10,000 competing web pages. So high search volume, low competition keywords. And those are the money words.
Okay. So once you've found those keywords, keyword phrases, what's the next step?
Okay. So once you've found those keywords and you have, you found the niche is selling well on Amazon, you've found the keywords, you've basically determined that the keywords, there's enough good keywords in this market that I'm going to get a lot of free traffic. The next step is to go ahead and build your website. And I just want to make another quick comparison here. The old way of doing niche marketing is just to put up a pay-per-click campaign and drive traffic to your site with PPC. But what we found is that over time, because Google PPC has changed so many things with the way they manage their advertisers and the policies that they've imposed, it's really hard to turn a profit selling little information products like this with just PPC. At best, you're going to be breaking even. You know, and well, at best, you'll be making a slight profit, but you're going to have to devote a lot of time to running that pay-per-click campaign. And so what we decided to do is harness free traffic and eliminate traffic costs, eliminate the headache of having to deal with pay-per-click. So that's an important distinction, is that what we do first is we use the money word matrix concept to get free traffic to our sites using very, very basic SEO, and it works.
So how quickly then can you get traffic, given that you have to set up a website and wait for Google to find it and send you some traffic?
Well, you can literally get traffic within a few days using this concept. And, the way to do it, we can get into this now, Yaro, or later. I think it would be for later because it's more like step 5 or 6.
Okay. Go in order then.
So we'll save it. Yeah.
Okay. Next step.
So the next step, I think you asked about what comes after the keyword research is you actually want to build your website, and you build your website, you know, based on the keyword list that you gathered and what you determined that your money words would be. So specifically, what you want to do is build a content-based website. All right? And the reason for that is because Google and other search engines love content. And that is what they are there for, is their purpose is to deliver good content to the end user. I mean, that's one of the reasons Yaro's blog does so well in the search engines. I mean, it's great content.
Now I can see this is where our training starts to overlap at last. So, because yes. I'm all about content and authority. So yep. How does that – well, let me ask then. You're probably about to explain this to me anyway. What's your content source? How do you get content created?
That's a good question. You can do it in one of two ways, and there may be more ways. This is the ways that I focus on personally. You can either write the content yourself, or you can we can talk about a few ways. You can write it yourself. You can hire someone else to write it for you, or you can buy it ready-made. The third option isn't really something that I've done too much of or would really recommend, because it's hard to buy content. You know, if I'm going to go into a specific niche like how to grow ficus plants, it's going to be hard to go out and buy ready-made content on that. It's just, where would you find it? Mm. It's such an obscure niche. So, you know, and also I like to have control over my content as well, so I know that I'm providing really good quality content to people. So, you know, we're building a content site here, and you want to come at it from the mindset of we're going to build a quality content site. Quality doesn't necessarily mean that you have to spend a ton of time or money on it. Just realize it's a quality site that people are actually going to want to come to and spend time on. So specifically, what you would want to do is get 5 or 6 articles created out of the gates. Just get 5 or 6 articles. You can write them yourself or you can outsource them. And I guess we can talk more about outsourcing if we get to that point, but there's ways to get articles written. People pay, you know, $12 to $20 an article. You can literally get articles created for $3 to $5, and I can talk about that more later. And these are good articles too. So you want to get your articles created, and you want to basically use those as content to put up your first website. Register a domain. Let's just use the example knitting. Let's call it knittingforbeginners.com, and register your domain name, put up your articles, and your site's up. That's the next step.
Okay. Well, you know, you're teasing us there with how you get these content, this article's written for $3. So how do you do that? That makes sense to know that now. So
yeah. Well, this is something that we discovered kind of by accident. you know, beforehand we were paying $12 to $20 an article, and we were also paying $750 to $1,500 per ebook. And what, you know, I happened to have a conversation with a friend of mine, his name's John Jonas. John knows a lot about outsourcing, and John specifically kept saying, Adam, you need to be outsourcing specifically to the Philippines. The Philippines is where you should be outsourcing for various reasons. And I said, okay, I'll try it. So I went over and just posted an ad on Craigslist, and this is the exact same system I actually use to this day, is go post an ad in Craigslist, specifically in the Philippines, and say, I'm looking for somebody to create content for me, to write ebooks, to write articles. Anybody interested? Well, the first time I ever did that, I got about 95 resumes flooding into my inbox. Yeah, and I was like, oh, gosh, well, I guess that's good, but now I have to go through 95 resumes. Luckily, I found that a lot of the people who had submitted their resumes were just great writers. You know, a lot of people in the Philippines they learn English at an early age. They're well-educated, so they end up becoming good writers. And so, but I still thought to myself, well, you know, it's still, you know, the native language is in English. The writing can't be that great. But I went ahead and had some sample content written, and I found a writer who I still work to this day named Steffi, who writes my ebooks. She writes my content, my articles, and they're better than, I would say, a good American writer, somebody, you know, who I used to pay 10 to 20 bucks an article for. And Steffi, of course, charges much, much less. So I can get an ebook created. For instead of paying $750, I'm paying more like $150. for a really good ebook. I wish I could show an example. The refund rate across our niche business is less than
2%. While you're drinking some water, sorry. Adam to butt in, if you want to have a glass of water there. I just wanted to ask though quickly, since you're talking about the Philippine outsources, because I've been getting a lot of queries about outsourcing, and I brought on Jeff Mills to do a webinar, and he actually mentioned Philippines too. So that's clearly a trend that's taking off, and I'm really interested myself in more about that. So can you clarify two things? You just go to Craigslist Philippines, so it'd just be a case of the normal Craigslist site focused on the Philippines and putting a post there for looking for workers. And B, what are your thoughts on adequate pay levels? Because some people go, it's morally wrong to be paying someone $5 US to write an article, or even $3 US. It's slave labor in their mind. Now, what's your take on that?
Well, I think the average, I mean, don't quote me on this, but I think the average pay scale for, or the average, I think, earning per family per month for an average person in the Philippines, I think is like $250 American dollars. I did struggle with that a little bit in the beginning, but thought to myself, well, you know, this person isn't going to be working full time for me. You know, they can write one ebook for me and make $150. They can write two ebooks and they'll make $300. And, you know, these ebooks can be turned around usually in about a week. So, you know, it's some people aren't comfortable with it. I've developed a great relationship with Steffi. She loves working with me. And that's what I'd recommend too, is, you know, get a feel for it. You don't want to cheat somebody, and you don't want to you don't want to try to get somebody to work for you who's reluctant to do so. Find somebody who is really, really thankful and happy to be working with you, and negotiate something with them where you feel comfortable and they feel comfortable and they're happy. I mean, and you're going to know if they're happy or not. And so that's what I would recommend. I mean, it's not for everybody, but I think the way to look at it is that, you know, if you feel like you are actually helping the person who's working for you, and you can feel good about it, and you know that they feel good about it, go ahead and do it. And you're going to be able to save some money, and you're going to be able to give them money that they have otherwise would not have had. So Steffi now, you know, her income is, you know, much, much higher than, you know, her neighbors.
And that's a good point. And this is what I had someone email me basically saying, I'm unsubscribing from your list because you advocate slave labor wages with your outsourcing, because I mentioned that Jeff Mills was paying, you know, $5 to the Philippines. And, you know, I said, I understand your objection, and I've felt the same hesitation about it. And it's pretty clear you have too, Adam. And then I, you know, we thought about it, and the situation as it exists now in the world is currencies are not the same, standards of living are not the same. And when, you know, thanks to electronic commerce, you can, you know, give someone $300 US in wages like you're doing to write two books and maybe some articles, and that's the equivalent to what they'd earn in a month, but they're doing it for, you know, a couple of weeks worth of work, then, you know, they can raise their standard of living above the average. And, you know, that's the reason why this exists, is because economies are not equivalent. Now, by employing people and giving them wages, you're actually helping their economy, you know, improve as well, since they're going to go and spend that money locally. So what, you know, it's the argument of globalization. Is it good or is it bad? And I like to think of it as, you know, you're actually taking money away from America. It sounds harsh when you do this, and then giving it to Philippines, right? So you're actually helping the Philippines raise their standard of living. And one day they may, you know, reach the point where America and the Philippines have a similar standard of living, in which case I'm sure the currency would be closer and this system wouldn't work anymore. But while the inequality is there, like you said, if it helps someone in India, in the Philippines, in Eastern Europe, and it is a benefit to their life, then, you know, the only person you might be harming is you're taking wages away from your local country. So it's a gray area, but I think you need to look at this on the individual level, and whether, like you said, are you helping Steffi? Is she benefiting? You know, if you didn't do that, is she worse off? And if it's a win-win situation, helps your business, helps her, then that's great.
Exactly. Yeah, win-win situations is key there.
Okay, so we know how you've got cheap content production. We know how you're getting your books written. We know how you're getting content for these niche websites. Let's start to put the pieces together. And there ends part one of the interview with Adam Short. I hope you've enjoyed it so far. In part two, we'll continue to break down the system that Adam and Alan use to make money from niche websites. And what you'll learn is the actual part of the monetization process. So what do they sell? How do they make money? You've already known the first part. You know how they find a topic. You know how they develop keywords. You know how they then produce a website and fill it with content. What you're going to learn next is how they then make money from that website, how they build a back end, how they build an email list, how they, you know, sell a product or use advertising. And you just have the whole system broken down as Adam and Alan do it. So I know you're already interested in this topic because you listened to the end. If you haven't got part two, go grab it now. You can find it at my blog at entrepreneurs-journey.com or Google my name, which is Yaro, Y-A-R-O, and you'll find my site there as the first result. Click the podcast tab once you get to my website, and there you'll find the archive of all my previous podcasts, and you just have to look for the Adam Short interview part two. Now, I haven't mentioned this yet, and neither has Adam, but there's actually an option for you to try their coaching program. So if you're already convinced that Adam is a guy you'd like to learn more from and you want to take his coaching program and follow his step-by-step video process for replicating his niche profit system for making money online, then there's a special link you can go to. It's nicheprofitclassroom.com/Yaro, Y-A-R-O. And there you'll find a special offer Adam and Alan have made to my subscribers, my readers, my podcast listeners, and you can try out their coaching program there and decide whether it's something you want to really develop and put some time into. Once again, I hope you enjoyed part one of this interview. Please now go and listen and download, or do it in the other order, part two of this interview. I know you get a lot from it, and if you do decide you want to try out the coaching program, just head to nicheprofitclassroom.com/Yaro. That's it for me. I will catch you on the next part two of this series. Thank you. Bye-bye.